You are listening to Abnormal Spaces.
I'm Donnie.
I'm Ryan.
In this podcast, we discuss conceptual realities, the researchers, authors, and explorers who describe and define them, as well as our personal experiences in these abnormal spaces. In this episode, we discuss the creation of visible patterns of sonic frequency, known as cymatics, as well as research into the use of sound to manipulate physical reality for healing and to move objects.
Sorry.
You're good.
Okay, that's better.
Oh, yeah. I like that much better.
Yeah, we don't have effects.
So, I was listening to this YouTube video. We had talked before just about like energy waves and sound waves and light waves and stuff like that. And I was watching this video regarding cymatics and, you know, how the different hertz produce different designs, like geometric designs. They put the sand on the plate or whatever and pump the tone into it, and then it makes the design. I didn't know that there was this Japanese researcher in the 80s, and he was looking at the DNA strand, and he assigned notes to specific peptides and was able to kind of create these sounds, not really scales, not really chords, but these sounds that correspond. And his theory is that if you can figure out what the perfect notes or frequencies are or whatever, that you could possibly repair damaged cells, damaged DNA, damaged things like that with the proper tones. And so other people have taken this research a little bit further, and they claim to have found the exact specific frequencies for like each of your chakras, basically. And it's interesting to me because so many of them, they end in an odd number, which I don't know why that fascinates me, but I always associate even numbers with major or something simple and clean and clear, and odds with like a minor or a dark or something dissonant or something like that. So some of these would end in like seven, for example. And I was wondering like how they arrived at those numbers. And then I was wondering, we're all different. So that is like probably the average hertz for most people, but I bet some people would heal even better off of, you know, a slightly different frequency. It just depends on what their makeup is. So I don't know if you've heard about any of that, or like, was it isochronic tones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of smart things to say today, but I know that isochronic tones, binaural beats, they're often used together to produce brainwave states and entrainment.
Yeah.
I don't know about body stuff. I don't know about organs. This is a weird off tangent about it, but this is going back to every podcast we've done so far. We think of things as physical and solid, and they're not. That's the first misstep in all of this, I think. It's like when they talk about sound not being able to penetrate the body like, you know, other forms of radiation or whatever. I mean, I get that, but I don't know, man. I think the sound, like the vibration, it has more to do with resonance.
Right.
You know, so it's like not even thinking about, does this penetrate the body?
Exactly.
Or anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the whole collective resonance. So like, you know, you have a group of people together and they're using the singing bowls or whatever. And there's all kinds of like sound bath healing and stuff like that. And it's kind of immaterial whether or not it makes it through whatever layers of flesh and whatever else. That is irrelevant to me. Is it causing a resonance, and is that the best possible vibration for that particular thing?
Right. And it could be, this is my weird thinking of things, but what if it's, you know, 137 hertz for an amount of time, then it goes to 143 hertz, and then maybe sweeps back down. And there's no way to monitor that, really. I'm like, okay, science, this is what needs to happen.
Someone get on this.
Just figure out how to find the resonant frequency of everything.
Right.
You know, I want to know the resonant frequency of this rock versus that rock. And then it's like, oh, this is a 438 point, whatever. Okay, cool. Oh, yeah, well, that rock fell apart. Okay, now what's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Like, I'm sure they're doing this work. You know, I hate to get all conspiracy and stuff, but there is so much we don't know. Like, there's programs and things, and just we can't even know.
There isn't really a good way to tie this back to the original.
I don't even remember what the original.
I don't either. We were talking about like cymatics and frequencies.
Yeah.
So I watched this other YouTube video, and it was this mathematician he was so excited about. Well, what led me there was Tesla's adoration of 369. And so he drew this graph. It started as a circle, and then he put the points on it. And he showed all of these computational things that you could do with these numbers. And first of all, 9 was always avoided. If you doubled the numbers and then did these calculations, it went in a certain order around this circular graph thing. And if you halved them, it went in the backwards order, but it made the same pattern. And then so he started messing around with different computations. When they got into some really higher order, like bigger numbers I don't know, computational thing.
Like equations.
Yeah. And yeah. It's really just like value more than anything else. But anyway, all these like really gorgeous patterns would appear. And, you know, most of them look like fractal flower kind of things. He showed, I can't think of the name of the one fractal that is like the dominant one that everyone sees all the time. But he was able to mathematically reproduce that using the same
like
thing.
Like the flower of life or something?
Yeah, it's a, I can't remember the name of it. To me, it kind of looks like a butt, honestly. But that's part of how my brain works.
I
got a big butt.
The majestic butt.
It is. It's God's butt. Anyway.
The God butt. Okay.
Anyway. What was beautiful to me was, although it wasn't quite the same as some of the patterns that appear when you put the tone on the metal plate with the sand, there were some striking similarities. There wasn't exactly the same, but there were some really interesting similarities. And it just brings me back to all of that. Like, the order is the math. And yes, it produces some chaotic results sometimes, but it always comes back to the math order of things. Then, you know, further distill it down, it comes back to the energy vibrations, and that's all it is. At the end of the day, that's all it is.
Yeah. And I wonder, you know, with cymatics, they're always proving that a tone can make geometric patterns on a plate with sand or whatever they use. Well, what happens when you reproduce the pattern?
Right.
Is the pattern the tone?
Right.
You know, like if I print this out, if I just Xerox, that's how old I am. If I just, if I made a copy of that, or I took a photo of that and then I sat on it, or if I, you know, right, like yeah. who knows what, like what are the applications of these?
Yeah. Well, and okay. So back to the healing frequency. So let's say, you have a heart problem and there's this healing frequency that, helps to mend, whatever the heart problem is. Could you not also have a visual representation of that? Like whatever, geometric pattern that tone creates, have that as a static image. And then, you know, could you, you know, draw it on your over where your heart is? Could you just stare at it a lot? And would that achieve any effect similar to that?
Could you holographically project it with light?
Right. Yeah.
And add another dimension of vibration to it, like with colored light.
Right. Well, and then choosing the frequency of light that corresponds to that. So yeah. Is it blue? Is it indigo? Is it, you know?
Right.
Right.
Oh yeah, man. We're starting a business.
Yeah.
No, there's plenty of people doing way cooler shit than I can even imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. Starting where we are versus where they already are.
Yeah. We're like, get you a shovel.
Xerox.
Get you a Xerox machine and get somebody to fix it first.
Right. <Yeah. laughs> but seriously though, like, there are all of those mysteries that we are just on the precipice of. Like, we know enough to be dangerous. We know enough to keep asking questions, but we don't know enough to really harness it.
I had that, the light and sound machine, and I was going off on that for a while, and it started to get weird. Mm-hmm. One time I was inside of the colors. When that happened, like, it made me anxious, and yeah. Because I was losing the sense of my body.
Yeah.
And actually, I pretty much lost it. Whenever I started to let go, I would get to these different tiers, like, I would get a wave of fear.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I was just going away. And that's when I started seeing like real pictures. I saw like trees blowing. I saw some kids on a swing at a park. This had nothing to do with the colors.
Yeah.
And the program.
Yeah.
So it was triggering things in my memory or whatever it was. I don't know what it was doing. But my buddy Andy, I let him wear it. And I was interested in a thing that he said. He was like, oh, this is really cool. He was just real, like, matter of fact, he was like, you know, he was like, yeah, this is really like doing some mushrooms or like a trip in a way. He was like, but the thing that's messing me up is there's too much.
Yeah.
He was like, it's like over stimulation. It's almost like I need less.
Yeah. Yeah. The 5 or 10 minutes that I wore it when I was over here right after you got it, that was the thing. Like, if I could just dial back the intensity of hair, I think I would have enjoyed it more. I didn't dislike it at all, but it did make my eyes hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
It's just super bright.
Yeah.
And it did a meditative thing where I was like aware of my thoughts and my breathing and stuff like that. And then it started to do like a hallucinatory thing where I felt like I was on a boat moving forward very quickly.
Yeah.
And yeah. That was weird.
Yeah, totally, man. And like, you know, with your eyes closed with those things, it's even more intense if you can imagine that, because the patterns and the things that happen immediately. And if you open your eyes, you're like, there's no pattern.
Yeah, it's, I know.
And then you close your eyes and it's like a carpet of, I would imagine, DMT sort of style.
Yeah.
I've never done it, but like, I'm like, oh wow, this is geometric fully. Like, yes. It's just crazy.
Yeah. And well, and that, so when, cause I did the same thing. I kept going back and forth between open and closed. I liked how, when my eyes were closed, it wasn't so intense, but I felt like whether it was my eyelid itself distorting it or adding those patterns, or the decreased intensity somehow when my vision center was interpreting that data and trying to come up with an image for me to see. Those patterns were really interesting.
Yeah.
They were like, you know, they were totally geometric, always a moving pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, flashes of colors and whatnot. But yeah, I did the same thing, except I just kept going back and forth. Again, the intensity of one was too much, but the intensity of the other was also too much.
Yeah. And, you know, you can dial that down. I mean, like there's controls to dial the light and the sound down. And there are different styles. So like there's a type of encoding called audio strobe. And there's a type called spectrostrobe. And the spectrostrobe, it's more gentle. They use the colors a lot more in that. And it's way more gentle. So I would think if you use the spectrostrobe programs, that gives you more of a range of like a meditative sort of experience and, you know, not such overstimulation. But the audio strobe is straight up like in your face and in the back of your skull and your whole, you know, you did that.
Yeah.
And it's white.
Yeah.
But what you see with your eyes closed is it's all color.
Well, that was another interesting thing to me. So I don't remember off the top of my head, so I'm just going to use these colors as an example, but eyes open, let's say it was red, eyes closed, it was green.
Yeah.
And it was the oddest thing.
It was the opposites of colors, which is interesting too, because, you know, that's a thing.
Yeah.
I think the eyes closed is the key, because, I mean, when you close your eyes, you're automatically flipping to an alpha state.
Right.
No matter what.
Yeah.
So just that little thing of closing your eyes, you've already flipped.
Yep.
And the only thing that happens after that is a deepening.
Yeah.
But you don't even think about it. It's like just, you know, in the morning, it's weird because, like, I'll have my eyes closed and I'll be awake. I haven't opened them yet. And some mornings when I open my eyes, I feel my body get like this little tiny jolt.
Yep, me too.
And that is a brainwave pattern change from alpha to more beta.
Yeah.
And just it's tiny little twinge. It's like this weird, like you put your tongue on a 9-volt battery and only way less, you know?
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but that's really interesting to me.
Yeah.
So like the eyes open thing, I don't know. Yeah, it's neat and it's weird. But the eyes closed thing is just like a whole other, it's like two machines.
Yeah, it really is. And two different experiences, you know, and then two different interpretations of those experiences. Okay, so here's a weird little memory from my history that ties in so much of this. So there's this movie called The Manhattan Project. And I think I was in fifth grade when I saw it. It freaked me out a little bit. It was about nuclear proliferation and about the nuclear weapon or whatever. And as a kid, I was very freaked out about nuclear war. Anyway, I'm going to sleep that night and I'm thinking about the movie and thinking about nuclear war and everything else. And I don't know if I was actually asleep, if I was in a sleep paralysis state or what it was. I did what I thought was opening my eyes. And the room looked exactly the same, except there was these alternating patterns. And one was red and one was green. And the red pattern looked more like demons. And the green pattern looked more like righteous soldiers that were going to, I guess, fight the demons or something. But they never... they just were like layered on top of each other. They weren't actually interacting with one another. And the best part about the pattern was it was completely symmetrical. They fit together very nicely within the pattern, the red character and the green character. And it was moving. And it was like going from, say, the foot of the bed to the head of the bed. So it was like this, I don't know, it was this movement over me of these two layers that made this beautiful pattern. It was scary in some regards, but it seemed like it was just the way of things. Like that was the takeaway that I had. I was like, well, you know, this is just this is the classic good versus evil thing. And it's the balance. It's the yin yang thing, you know, but I'm like 9, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, man. like having those experiences as a little kid, it's wild because your filter is just so weak.
Yeah. Well, and the veil between consciousness and unconsciousness is so permeable and thin.
Yeah, totally. You know? And like, what do they say? Until you're a certain age, you live in theta.
Yeah, I think it's till five, maybe. Yeah. Four or five, I don't know.
But, I mean, the after effects of that, I mean, you're still jumping in and out all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Like, yeah.
Probably until you're, I mean, who knows? But, you know, when I was 15 or 16, that's when I started having the most out-of-body experiences. I had never heard of out-of-body experience. I had never heard of any of it.
Yeah.
No lucid dreaming. There weren't books I knew about.
Yeah.
I thought they were nightmares.
Well, sure.
And then I thought it was a medical condition. Like, you know, that started everything.
Yeah.
Like this whole crazy alternate looking and searching, like that started it all, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild how those things like really form the foundation of just our perception, you know?
At that point in time, after I got past the incessant out-of-body thing happening every single night for maybe like a week and a half.
Yeah.
It was like having a recurring nightmare every night.
Yeah.
But only, I mean, it wasn't a nightmare.
You're like, right,
I was literally in my room awake, but I was asleep. Everything looked the same, but there would be like a different piece of furniture in the corner. There would be an old dresser. There would be, you know what I mean? There were like little inconsistencies.
Yeah.
But they were solid. When I was trying to get out of the room, I could only crawl.
Mm.
I felt like there was a giant weight on my back that I couldn't stand up.
Yeah.
And, but then once I got into the kitchen, I could start to stand up. And that goes back to my, well, you get further away from your body.
Yeah, right.
Pulling and vibration and all that like would go away. And I would always just go into the kitchen and I would stand up and the clock looked like hieroglyphics or something. And they would be changing just, blah, blah, blah,
oh,
blah,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
I would see that and then I would start floating up at a fast rate and then I would hit the ceiling and then I'd wake up.
Yeah.
And that's how it happened every time.
You know, kind of back to the cymatic patterns or the mathematical patterns or whatever, I wonder how much our personal frequency correlates to some kind of personal pattern and some kind of personal like color, like an aura or whatever. And like figuring that stuff out, how beneficial that might be to just calming us down.
Oh, yeah. You talked about Tesla and I talked to you before about the guy who made this thing that he calls the Ark.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the wildest. I mean, I haven't done it because mm-hmm. it's just, it takes a little bit to do. But I saw a guy on YouTube who actually made it. So basically what it is, I'm not going to go all into it, but it's like there's a circle on the floor and it's like 6 feet basically in diameter. And then inside of that, there's two geometrical shapes. One's like a square. And I think one is like triangle. And so, or I'm sorry, it's a tetrahedron.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at the points of these, of the square and the tetrahedron
mm-hmm.
is where you put speakers.
Okay.
Pointing towards the center of the circle. So there's a dot in the center. And there are specific frequencies that have been worked out, these mathematic equations with the 3, 6, and 9 and all of this stuff. Mm. You know, one's like 2, 32 and then one speaker is like 432 and then but they're all like in a sequence and they're all pointed at certain like you have to be oriented toward the north for it to work. I don't know why, but there's all these correlated like centers and organs with all of these speakers and all of these things. So you sit in the center of this, you play six speakers of six tones at the same time, and you just basically just sit there and close your eyes. And this thing is supposed to just like shatter your world apart, basically.
Nice.
And open your centers fully, where you just fully become like aware of things.
Yeah, right.
So I listened to these tones and it was really weird to listen to them.
Yeah.
But I think the actual movement of the vibration of the speakers, and I think that might be an important, like we were talking about, the distortions, the harmonics, the actual feelings.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's important.
Yeah, that's something that can't be left out, is that, you know, you have mass, you have an air mass moving at whatever rate based on the vibration that is created from that tone.
Right.
So you need that physical as well.
Yeah, if you're making things in a certain size, so if you're 6 feet away or whatever that math is from the source, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It makes sense that you would have to play it at a certain amplitude to do that.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, I bet if you really got down into it, there are certain tones that you might have to play more loudly or more quietly to get that balance of the thing.
Yeah. And here was an interesting thing, though, that I noticed just on headphones. I listened to it for about 20 minutes. Mm. And I'm just sitting here, like, wigging out on this. And after about maybe, like, 5 minutes, I started noticing tones that weren't there.
I've experienced something like that. Yeah.
And then, so what happened, there was a tone in the background. It was so low, and it started going. And then ramping up, and then going. And it wasn't there.
Yeah.
That wasn't real.
See, I mean, I wonder how much of that is similar to the binaural thing. Like, it creates a tone in your brain that isn't there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder, too, if you're in the southern hemisphere, if you have to point it south, or, like, if there's any change there.
I have no idea.
Or when the magnetic pole flips, do you have to switch it, you know?
Well, I don't know if it's going to matter, because what's going to happen when that happens?
Yeah. Well, you know, it depends on who you ask, because some people are like, nothing. And everyone's like, well, we don't know. Well, and the sun is flipping earlier than it normally does. So the sun flips, too, and I want to say it's like going to flip like 11 years earlier than it should or something.
Well, this has happened before.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what happened then?
Nothing.
Nothing happened.
No, except now that we rely on satellites for so many things, like it will disrupt that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So your voicemail won't come through on time or something.
Oh, okay. So they'll have to adjust everything for that.
Yeah, well, they won't. Or maybe they will. I don't know. I don't know what they do.
It's them.
But it has happened before. And I also know that when there are those coronal mass ejections, the really big ones that flood us with radiation, that'll mess up computers and telecommunications and stuff too.
Yeah. I heard about that. And, that's going to suck if it happens.
Yeah, it'll be like a low-level EMP, I think, but that's pretty damaging. EMPs, if I understand correctly, though, like, that just fries it. Like, you can't just fix it. Like, it's just done.
Right.
So I don't think it's to that level.
Well, yeah, I saw something about that the other day. It said something about a solar flare or some kind of, like, solar storm that would knock out the internet for, like, a few months.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the theories, too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't sit here and worry about it, you know, but...
No, less internet would probably do people some good.
Yeah, but I mean, imagine all the processes.
Oh, I know, yeah.
I mean, it would literally halt everything.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, people would lose their minds.
It would be like COVID plus.
Yeah, COVID plus.
I mean, because that's all we had was the COVID. Internet, you know?
Right, I know, yeah. Oh, well, and imagine, what a perfect storm, like if internet was out and people had to go back to, you know, more interacting. And then all of a sudden now there's another communicable disease and, you know, we're forced to like deal with each other. What happens then? Like,
yeah, there's a lot of really crappy what ifs.
Yeah.
But,
I heard the other day that if you start thinking these like what ifs and they're negative, that you have to limit yourself. So you're like, well, I have two negative what ifs today and that's it.
I try not to do what ifs like at all, you know, I mean, except for when we talk, you know.
Yeah, I always do the what if the good thing happened? What if the positive outcome? Like as soon as I was like, what if everything falls apart? I'm like, what if everything is way better? You know, it's silly, but it helps.
Well, there's the dog.
Yeah, dog wants to get in on this.
Well, I guess that means that we have come to the end of this podcast.
Indeed we have.
And I don't know if we've learned anything. If anybody wants this to mess around with this light and sound machine, it's a Casina mind machine. I think they're called Mind Place, but you can get it on Amazon. Make sure you get it with the Gansfield goggles because that is the magic of that machine, in my opinion. It is a little pricey, but we are not affiliated with anybody. I just say this stuff because I would want to know if somebody was talking about some stuff.
Yeah, and if those companies want to sponsor us, that's totally fine.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah, and if one of those companies wants to send us something to try and then talk about, I mean, just you know, go to the email and send us a little, drop us a line.
Send me them dicyanin goggles.
Oh, yeah. I would
We'll get into those at another time whenever I see if they're bull or crazy.
Or if your mind is blown.
Yeah. So.
Toodles.